And I don't have any announcements, and I don't think we have any children. So, two, yeah. Oh, we do, yeah. I do have children, don't I? Forgot about those two little boogers. All right. Well, thank you for filling in, Joyce. That was sounded great, as always. Always a treat to be able to hear you play. But today we're in The Essence of God, Eternal Life, number 11, and I think we're going to get to Omnipotence, number 1. We'll see. We've got quite a bit to go on eternal life, but I think we may get there. I'm not sure, but you never know. God's in control of this situation, right? So I don't think I had any announcements except the Lord's Supper will be at the end of the month, and the deacons meeting as well. That's right, I did have a couple things. The books, we're going to try to get those out in about a month. So if you don't see anything that you like or you want, we're going to move them. So why don't you go back there and see, there may be something you like. And also, we've got some clothes back there from Roy that Joyce has put back there, and you can look through that and see if you like anything. And that'll be back there for a little bit, but there's some good stuff back there. So take advantage of it, and yeah. So before we get going, let's take a minute of for a silent prayer. And for us, that simply means we can, I guess you could say, shift gears and acknowledge, or as the scripture says, confess our sins before God the Father. And he is in able to cleanse or forgive, and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that allows us to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we need to learn and grow, and also to apply the word. So why don't we take a minute, and we'll take care of that. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are just grateful to be here, thankful for your plan, thankful that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. So it's by your grace that we're here. It's by your grace that we're in your plan, and we're so thankful for it. We just pray for our people here that are not well or have health problems that we know that you know the details of, and you take care of those for us. We just thank you for that, and we just pray for concentration on your word so we can better get to know you and love you as our God. We thank you for all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So I thought we made good headway on Wednesday night. I feel like we made a pretty good ways there, and it was a good distance, and so that was good. If you remember, we started seeing how the Word of God relates to experiencing eternal life now. And that had to do with the spiritual life, living the spiritual life, taking advantage of what you have right now. And, you know, it's exciting to know that we are ahead of the game, I guess you could say, in that part, because we know there's a lot of people that kind of, ignore that part of their life, the spiritual part. And so we want to take advantage of that, because we want to benefit, not only benefit from it, but also glorify God, follow his commands, and follow the way he wants us to live in the spiritual life. So, and part of that, remember, is denying ourselves. That was kind of the topic that we have been talking about, denying ourselves. You know, I saw a drawing. Someone had drawn I don't remember where I saw it, but it had my plan on the top, and it had a little map, had a straight line to the finish line. Here was the flag. And then it had God's plan. It had these ditches, and it had a trench. It had all these spikes, and then the finish line was way over here. And it just reminded me, that's very true. You know, we can't see everything. We just see the goal, you know, but God has other plans for us. He's got valleys, he's got ditches, he's got walls we need to climb. And so part of the denying yourself is exactly that. It's taking those valleys and those ditches into account and realizing that it's not necessarily my plan. It's not necessarily what I want. It's what God wants for me. And even though I saw that easy straight path and I knew it was clear, I knew it would be easy in my mind, and it wasn't, we realize that there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. So that's why we need to be in tune with the spiritual aspect of what we're doing here. Also, the Bible makes it very clear that we're either living for ourselves or living for the things, the eternal things. And that was the world versus the spiritual, the physical versus the spiritual that we've been going through. And that it really is, I think, the root, the base of denying ourselves is what area do we spend most of our time in? Of course, we're physically here, right? But this is a spiritual thing, which means it's automatically a mental, it's a thought process. And so if we're going to live in this world, in the physical world, and at the same time be a spiritual being, a spiritual person, we have to think in such a way that is able to do that. And so God gave us all the means. He gave us the necessary things that we need in His scripture to do so. And really, it's about eternal purpose, isn't it? We want to live the way God wants us to live. We saw that in John 17:3. The purpose of eternal life was to get to know God, to get to know Him. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're getting to know our God right now, right here. We're not waiting. We're not taking a break. We're not saying, oh, I can wait till I die. You know, we're getting to know Him now because we realize that there is eternal value to the things that you do now. Going through those ditches and going through those low spots in your life and the testing, and those things have eternal value, right? God definitely is glorified when you take His word and you apply it to the situation in your life. That's what experiencing eternal life now means. It's taking the spiritual things that God has given us at salvation and using them, taking full advantage of them. And so, you know, it really helps us to see these things. And the process of knowing God just inherently means that we have to separate from the world and deny ourselves. Because remember, we have a sin nature. And growing in a relationship with God means that we are becoming a righteous person, or walking in the light, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's actually excluded from the sin nature. So in order to do that properly, we have to be able to properly deny our own thinking in certain cases. It may sound kind of strange, but it's true. And because, as you well know, you're human, we can get ourselves into some sticky situations, no doubt. Because when we don't deny the things that we need to, we accept them and then we follow them out. And then our authority is no longer God and His word, but it's us. It's our own sin nature. So we can easily get off the wrong trail. You know that very well. But don't think of denying yourself as necessarily thinking of everything that's sinful. Because denying self, there's a balance there, right? We have things that we need to do. We have things that are physical in this world that we need, like money, like food, like a job, like friends and family. All these things are physical things that are, you could say, necessary to live, right? I think the distinguishing factor here is having the discernment to know what is too much, what is too far, how much is, you know, am I doing too much of something to where I need to deny myself in a certain area? That's for you to decide. I don't know. It depends on you as a person, but you get the idea. See, we have to do certain things in life to live, but at the same time, when we go too far in one area, that's when we have to recognize, our alert has to pop up and say, this is part of the denying I have to recognize. Because God knows that if we go too far in one area, it can distract us. It can distract us from the spiritual life. It can distract us from making the proper applications that we need to make. It can distract us from just going down the wrong path, right, in life. So the better in tune or closer we are in that relationship, I think the better off we are at seeing those things. And this could include anything, right? I already mentioned career, downtime, hobbies that we all take part in some way or somehow. We just have to know where to draw the line. And I think that is an important thing. Or we can quickly turn a blessing that God has given us into cursing or some form of discipline that we bring to ourselves because of where our priorities are in the physical realm. See what I mean? So the word deny, remember, it meant to refuse, to say no to disown. Don't disown yourself, not yet, but you get the idea there, to repudiate. So I think we can all understand that there are times when we need to tell ourselves no. We need to say, no, you're not supposed to do that. We have a conscience, right? That's part of the Word of God, what we're learning and what it gives us. And we start to distinguish on things that we're supposed to do, we can do, or we're not supposed to do. And so we're able to actually, it's very powerful, believe it or not. The fact that you have the information of what is actually right and what is actually wrong, a lot of people don't understand. And so you have the ability to tell yourself, yes, I know I want to do this, but I also know that I'm not supposed to do it. And so that's really what saying no or refusing yourself is referring to. And that comes into play with a lot of things, a lot of things. Every day we have to deal with this denying ourselves, depending on what it is, every single day. And so you can see that it definitely requires service, a mindset of service, not just, I do like the term self-discipline, but I realize that that's a challenge for all human beings. Self-discipline is not something that we just acquire overnight and all of a sudden we're good, right? We still have a sin nature and are required to have self-discipline with the sin nature. So there's the balance of denying ourselves when it comes to living in this world, you could say. So Luke, we talked about Luke 9, 23, where we first encountered the word deny. And we were able to hear the exact kind of thinking. We went over to Paul, first saw it in Jesus speaking, and then we went to Paul, and we saw the actual thought process come out on the pages of Scripture. And I want to read the verses again because this is the exact mindset that we need to have as we trek through this life. This is it. I just need to read them again. It says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ." That's how he starts, you know, at least this section. And this kind of sums up what is the core in the root, the base in his thinking, that he has, what he has prioritized versus what he has not. And you can tell there was a switch there. These things were gain to him. They were gain to us too. But the denying ourselves, we make that switch. The ball is rolling in the direction so we can see, our eyes are open, so we can see what's really gain. What's true gain here in this earth, on this world? It's the spiritual realm. It's the spiritual things that we do. It's taking application and applying the word in such a way that glorifies God. And so Paul, you can tell right off the bat, he realizes that. Whatever those things were, now I count them as loss. He counts them as loss. In other words, they can be a complete and total distraction to a believer. They can separate him from the spiritual life. They can damage his physical spiritual life and people around him if we consider them as gain. See, he's referring to gain here as the true things that are meant to prosper, the things that look good in the sight of the world. And that's true. It looks good and it is gain to the world. So that's why it's sometimes hard to separate ourselves, because to everyone else, what we're doing here does not look like gain. Living the spiritual life, serving God, that's not gain in the world. See, but the bottom line is that it is true gain. We need to know truth. We don't need to know what the world thinks. We just need to know truth. And this is truth. This is the Word of God. So gain here is referring to counting the things of this world as loss for the sake of Christ. So, and then here, verse 8, more than that, he's going even farther. I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. There's the purpose of eternal life. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. So, the word loss here means is only having to do with suffering, the loss of something with implication of sustaining hardship, suffering, damage, or disadvantage. That's what Paul's talking about. He has already taken those into account and he's considered them as loss. He's forfeited them and it may be suffering involved in that. But he says, I have counted all things to be loss. Everything that he knows. He's not saying some things, he's saying everything that I have. The most top priority, the very top of the list is his ability to know Christ. And that's what he places it on, the emphasis on. So Paul is saying not only does he realize where his priorities are, which is true spiritual gain. Here you can see that. But he sees the gain of this world as having zero value. Zero value. And I don't mean it's not necessary. I don't mean we should minimize it. But I do mean we need to have the proper perspective on how we view the things of this world. Gain, we're talking about. Profit, we'll see later, we're talking about. Doesn't matter whether it's happiness, monetary gain, pleasure, power, career. Those things can be damaging or a disadvantage to his spiritual life if he's not focused on the number one priority. That's what he's referring to. And when we get distracted from the spiritual life, guess what? We can expect loss. We can expect some kind of loss. We can expect to be put at a disadvantage and to suffer because of the discipline that we invite to ourselves, right? When we push God aside and say, you know what? I'm having fun in this world. I need to enjoy it some more. I need to spend more time in this area. You know, I'll come back to my study with you, my worship with you, my getting to know you. I'll get to that later. And that's how it becomes a problem. So, and we also looked at some of those areas, right, that we needed to take a look at on what denying ourselves consisted of. And we also looked at actually some of them. We started in Luke 9 where Jesus was talking to the disciples and the people. And let me just read this, and I'm not going to spend too much time on it just to show you where we were. And he was saying to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's the idea of what we've been talking about here. This is the idea of Jesus himself talking to his disciples. And then we wanted to know more information on deny. Remember that? We wanted to know more information on deny, what to deny, so we took it to Titus. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires is what the verse is telling us. And to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So, and you know, we discussed a lot of these things, went through this. So we're now looking, we went through ungodliness. And we're now looking at worldly desires. This is the word that we're made our way to. Worldly desires. Ungodliness and worldly desires. So you can see what desires we're talking about. We're talking about worldly ones. Worldly ones. The word worldly here means, it's, you probably heard it before, it's the Greek word kosmikos. Kosmikos. Where we get our English word cosmic from. Probably heard of that, right? You may be more familiar with the noun version of this word, cosmos, or cosmos in the English, which means world. This word right here is the adjective form, which is why it's translated worldly. It's describing the desires that we have, and it's describing where they are, where they're found. They're all here. They're all here. They're either from us, they're in this world, or something has to do with the world, the cosmos, the world system of Satan. We know that. We know this is his realm, don't we? We do. This isn't saying, and the worldly spiritual desires has nothing to do with spiritual here. It's talking about from this world. So, desires, this is a separate word here. The word is epithumia, and it means a great or passionate desire for something, a craving, a longing. And you can tell this word is referring to the negative urges of the lust patterns that we have. This is the flesh. This is the sin nature. These are the things that we desire of this world that go across that limit. And remember, you've still got a balance here because you have worldly things that we have, that we need, that we have to have. But when does it cross over to a worldly desire or a deep desire, we should say? See, there's a boundary there. I think we could definitely say. So, because this word is also used in a positive sense in other verses, desire here. But here, it's used in a negative way. Definitely negative way. So, these are great desires, and they're described as worldly. And this is basically describing denying the lust of the flesh when it comes to the things of this world. That's what this is talking about. Denying the lust of the flesh when it comes to things that we deeply crave or desire or have a strong urge to take part in. That's the sin nature. That's the sin nature. That's all it is. We're human, right? We can talk about these things. We have these things inside of us. And we have to be able to deal with them accordingly. So, I've already alluded to this, but in mentioning how the sin nature will make things look attractive, look very good, you know, the big neon sign, go this way with the arrow pointing, you know, all the lights are on, here, look here, go here. Our sin nature is very convincing is what I'm trying to tell you. So that's the weakness about it when it comes to giving in to something that we don't necessarily need to or know that we're not supposed to. So when we're talking about worldly desires, just think of desires as worldly lust is a better way to see it, because desires doesn't bring out the full intent of the word. And there can be a lust for a lot of things, as you already know. This can apply to many, many things. And, you know, we categorize these in things as weaknesses and strengths, but at the same time, it doesn't have to be either area, because guess what? Maybe it is your area of sin, or maybe it's not hard for you to deny, but the bottom line is we know ourselves. We're an individual. I can't come and say, hey, you know, this is your issue. I have my own issues. I'm a believer with a sin nature just as you are. I have to deal with myself. You have to deal with yourself. But this is where we're going, because it should be obvious to you why we are to deny these things. I'll just name some of them. There's always a lust for power, pleasure, sex, social lust, a lust for the approval or praise of other people. That's actually approbation lust. Monetary lust. We all know money. We all like money, right? But see how that can go too far. It can become a lust for money at that point. Chemical lust. That is every kind of drug. And I think alcohol falls in that category. I'm pretty sure it's a chemical as it goes through its process. And that probably includes sugar. So there, I'm out. You know, the lust goes on and on and on. There's feelings, certain feelings of lust, anger, revenge, I mean, whatever your area is, that's the one we should be thinking about individually. But it should be obvious, why are we to deny these things? Because they're not good. And they actually do take us away from the spiritual life. They hinder our spiritual growth. You know, remember the beeline to the finish line. God's direction is hilly, bumpy, wavy, right? When we have these, we're not denying ourselves, we're on the wrong path. We're in the wrong plan. We're in my plan versus God's plan. There's always a struggle of even to go down the spiritual way, right? And these things hinder us from doing just that. I just listed a few of the most obvious reasons why we should deny ourselves in these areas. Well, first of all, they are sins. They're sins. When they get to the level of what this word is talking about, it becomes a sin. Lust takes it to the extreme. It takes it past the point of no return. So at that point, it's a sin, right? The next one is they quench and grieve the Holy Spirit, which, as you know, that's our power in the spiritual life. That's what we that's how we walk as a Christian. That's what God wants us to glorify Him in, His power, in the Holy Spirit. We can't do that if we're in the flesh. If we're a carnal believer in the world, we can't do that. We can't do that. We're separated from Him. And then the reason we should deny these is because, I've already mentioned this, but they are distractions to our divine priorities. And they are. They distract us. They remove us from the spiritual and put us right in the Satan's world. So at that point, you know, we're very vulnerable. We're very vulnerable. That's not a good place for a Christian to be. We need our armor. We need our power. We need everything we can get, because when we're left by ourselves in this world, I mean, that's not good. We need protection, and we need it from God. So, and here's another one that Paul clearly understood earlier. There is absolutely no divine gain in worldly desires. No gain. So these things are wasting, not only wasting your time, but they're bringing on yourself negative things, and they're subtracting from the quality of life that God wants to give you. So it's funny how we can convince ourselves initially that it's a good thing, but then afterwards we look back and say, you know what, that was a bad thing. It wasn't a good choice on my part to take part in whatever it may be, right? They do not satisfy us in any way, even when we convince ourselves they will. We have a way of saying this will be this way. But when we get through it, it subtracts from something else. You gain this much and you lose this much is a good way to look at it. Not only does it take away from yourself, because remember, the sin aspect comes into this. So here we are. We brought divine discipline onto ourselves, and we can expect it, and we do as believers, because we know, right? We know when we do something, we're like, oh, shoot. You know, we almost have the attitude like, oh, here we go. When is it going to hit me? When is it going to come and get me? Because I know discipline is coming very, very soon, right? And God doesn't usually let us wait too long before He knocks on our door. But there's no satisfaction even when we convince ourselves that there is. And what I mean by that is the only satisfaction and fulfillment in this life in the truest sense is the Word, God. Through the Word, in your soul, God Himself, in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's really the only true satisfaction that you'll ever have. You'll keep chasing the lusts of the flesh all your life, and you may go to your grave chasing those things. Hopefully you won't, right? I'm just giving you an example in an extreme case. I'm not saying we won't veer from time to time. We do have sin natures. But we do know people that constantly chase these lust after lust after lust, and we could just see their lives falling apart. We see the physical life falling apart. Their health is deteriorating, and they're going down a trail that is to nowhere, to nowhere. And we see God knocking on the door, continuously knocking, trying to get their attention, but they got the blinders on at this point. So we don't want to get to that point, but I do want to point out that if we continue down that road, there is a point of almost no return. Of course, we know that God always accepts us back, right? I'm talking about the individual. It gets harder and harder to recognize the true solutions when you're going chasing the false ones. Because when you chase false after false after false, you don't really know any better. You can't see the truth, so therefore you keep chasing the false. And hopefully that there is a come to Jesus moment at some point in that person's life, right? And here's another one. They lead us down paths we wish we wouldn't have gone. I already mentioned that, but it's the truth, right? After we take them, take the bait. You know, it reminds me of the fish, a fishing lure, right? The fish takes the bait. He's confused. He thinks it's real. It's got six hooks hanging off of it, but he doesn't see that. It's going through the water, and that looks good. And he bites it. Guess what? He's in the frying pan. I mean, is that a good decision that the fish made? No. It's the same scenario, though. I don't know. Every time I think of fishing, I'll think of those guys who cheated in that fishing tournament. Man, I can't believe they did that. But hey, we have a sin nature, don't we? And we're capable of making decisions that are not conducive to God's plan in our life. These guys is a good example of what the lust, the sin nature can do, because they were lusting after something that led them to do something else. The goal was the money. The $30,000 end goal prize was the money. If I just can put add a little bit of weight to these fish, there you go. Shouldn't be much of a problem, right? And it wouldn't have been if they wouldn't have gotten caught. Well, it would have, right? We know God keeps track of every single thing that we do. But you get the point. We wish we wouldn't have gone down these roads. Our sin nature can fool us, can trick us into thinking this is a good idea. They obviously thought it was a good idea at that moment, or they wouldn't have done it. They thought it was a good idea. They thought they were going to get away with it. They thought they would have been scot-free. And then not the case. And here's the other thing. They negatively affect others around us. Our individual, internal, invisible thoughts, bad decisions affect other people around us. They do, no doubt about it. They affect other people around us. They affect people in relationships because we jumped the gun. We decided to go in this direction. We wanted it first. We did something. Guess what? That affects the other person. You don't really think about that. The effects, when we go for these worldly desires, what is that? That's subjective. It doesn't take others into account. It excludes others. This is strictly a fleshly desire. This is not having to do with anything that anybody else wants, needs, or even cares about. Nothing. It doesn't take any of that into account. It doesn't take their feelings into account. It doesn't take the account into that they love you. It doesn't take anything into account. And it will hurt other people by our bad decisions. My bad decisions and your bad decisions hurt other people. So as we're talking about all these, just be thinking about the things that we are to deny and why we are to deny them. I didn't say it was easy, but I'm telling you, it's possible. And then the verse goes into positive things here. Notice that the verse kind of switches. And to live sensibly. Live sensibly. This is a good word. And I think you can live sensibly when you deny ungodliness and worldly desires. Listen to the word sensibly here. It means to be prudent, soberly, do things in moderation, showing self-control, and having good judgment. So these are all good words, but you see that they definitely fall in the category of worldly desires or the lust patterns of our own body, right? When we go too far in something, we tend to not take things in moderation. That goes out the window. There's a time and a place usually for everything. And that's a good way to look at it. And we tend to take the timing aspect out. We throw it to the side. We tend to take the place out. And we do it where we want, when we want to. That's the sin nature. So as I go through these words, you know, prudent, sober, moderate, self-control, these are the very things that the sin nature does not like. It does not like to live in this way. So that's why it's a struggle, right? That's where our struggle is, right there. It's you've got the pulling forces of yourself and then your service to God. I know one is way more important than the other, but it's still a struggle because you have to live with yourself. So in order to live for eternity, live the eternal life right now by denying ourselves, we have to live in a moment-by-moment way in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the Word of God. There's no way you can do this successfully without being in the Word. You can't do it. I wish I could give you some lotion or some cream you could go buy or some food you could go eat or a pill you could take. That's what we all like to find, right? Oh, you found this pill. This is the... I've taken plenty of those pills, right? But they're never magical like we like them to be. The only thing that is so-called magical is the Word of God because it's of God and it's spiritual. I'm not saying don't take your medication because I'm still taking some of those pills, right? A lot of those things do good things. God has given us a lot of things that do good, right? But the point I'm trying to make is where do we go for our solutions? Where do we go for our solutions? Who do we look to for relief? Who do we look to for, pressures, difficulties, stresses in our life? Do we look to the things here? Or do we look to the Word, the spiritual aspect that is actually found in here? That's the difference. And, you know, when we do that, when we do live in this way, guess what it results in? Having good judgment. Having self-control, being prudent, doing things in moderation, and staying sober. You know, one of the things that many people have a problem with is moderation, right? And I'm no example of that. I just want to let you know that moderation is one of those things that we all have an issue with because we enjoy things. Doesn't matter what it is, you name it. But this is really going back to what the sin nature likes. It doesn't like moderation. It wants to, you know, satisfy the flesh, not satisfy what God wants you to do. See, really, those things are really like this. They're at head. They're mutually exclusive, right? They're mutually exclusive. So now that we know what we know, let's look at how we got into this mess. Luke 9, let's read back through these. This is Jesus saying, the Son of Man must suffer. He's talking to his disciples. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. He's preparing them, right? And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's where we came from, and we went kind of around the track, and we came back here. So if we want to march in step behind Jesus, we actually understand what the word deny means now. I think we have a very good understanding of what deny means. That's what he's referring to when he says deny himself right here. He must deny ourself, and now we have an and here, take up his cross daily, daily. That's why I said earlier that this is a moment by moment thing. Tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow you have new feelings. Tomorrow you have new people to be around. Tomorrow you have more lust to deal with, to battle, to fight. It has to be daily, daily. It has to be a daily thing. Think about this. This is Jesus himself talking to the disciples. This is Jesus. He's talking about the cross. And he's talking about a day-to-day thing. In Jesus' mind, he's the one who decided, yes, I will do this. I will go here and I will die for the sins of the world. And guess what? Do you think he took a day off? Shoot, no. He didn't take a day off. He couldn't take a day off. It's about the mission. We're on a mission here. That's what we're on. We're on a mission. We're on a mission to serve God, to get to know Him, to glorify Him, and of course to live happily, right? That's just a spinoff of following the mission. So Jesus couldn't take a day off. He couldn't say, okay, I'm going to go on Sunday. I'm just going to go do nothing, indulge in some, whatever. He had to stay within the bounds of moderation at all times. At all times. That's why he says, take up his cross daily, daily. You know, when you accept something like this, I don't think this is a one-time, one-decision thing. Jesus is referring to, a moment-by-moment thing. This is over a progressive someone's lifetime or someone, at least the time that they're following. From the moment here, he's letting them know, hey, here's what you have to do if you want to follow me. You have to deny yourself. You have to take up his cross daily and follow me. So not only do we have to accept that mentally, just as Jesus did. Remember what he did? He humbled himself and he came to this earth. He didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. It's a mindset. It's a mental thing that we have to go through. We have to understand of why we're here, what we're here for, and the larger purpose of all these things. Right? So, he accepted it because of who he is as our God. That's why he accepted it, right? His love, we know his grace, his righteousness, his justice, all of his attributes came together and he accepted the mission to come here and die for us. That's why he accepted it. So, and I think of mercy right off the bat because you have a sin nature that he's coming down to take care of. So I think just as Jesus understood and accepted his mission from the Father, by humbling himself to become a slave, to the point of death, by the way. Isn't that where we're heading? Death? At least physical death, right? Yeah. Yeah. Aren't we obligated to be his slave and serve him as our example? Yes, we are. And that's where, the example is. It's in Jesus Christ. So, it goes really farther than that, since it was because of God's love for us. First, remember that he took initiative and invested in you and me. He took it in an investment. It's his investment. Just so we could have the opportunity to be a part of his plan and to fight the good fight of faith. Notice what I just said. Willingly. Yes, we are obligated to do what Jesus is saying, to deny and to follow. But at the same time, he's not going to force us. He's not going to force us. And I don't want to force you either. Because the spiritual life is gracefully lived in love because of a willingness to do so. So when we don't deny, we need to think about how much do we love our God and our Savior. It's rooted in love. You know, there's a sacrifice on both ends of this. We have a sacrifice, a sin nature that we have to sacrifice. We have to make sacrifices in our life that denying is sacrificing. Denying yourself is sacrificing self. It is. It's making tough decisions when you really wanted to do something, no matter what it is. And that's not always easy. It's not always easy. I'm human. We have to understand that what we do here is not something that is superficial. It's not something that God is forcing us to do, but it's something that God is building inside of you for you to come up on your own decision-making process, for you to do it voluntarily, right, on your own. And that's the beauty of the spiritual life. It revolves around your volition. So if you remember Wednesday night, I asked the question, do the things that people sometimes do that we see physically, them denying themselves, depriving themselves, putting themselves through pain and suffering, not being married, some of these things that we see, are they a very clear view of someone's spiritual life or their service or their love to God? And I hope you can answer that no now. Because every single, it may be, but guess what? Is it a clear indicator, a clear connection of their service to God? No. An unbeliever can do the things that they're doing just as easy as they can. Matter of fact, there are many Muslims that go through a lot of suffering when it comes to the month of Ramadan, don't they? They do. They have to fast every week. Who wants to fast? That's hard. You ever fasted like they do? Sometimes it can be, 18 hours. But the point is, those things aren't an indicator of anything unless it's up here. Every single thing that we've discussed, every single thing that we went through in denying yourself had nothing to do with the world. It had to start up here. It had to start in your thought process. If you can deny yourself in your thinking, you can deny yourself here. There's a no-brainer there, right? But if you just do it here and don't have it here, who are you serving? I would say you're serving man. You're not serving God. You're doing it for the show. You're doing it for this right here. Because God actually knows why we do what we do, right? He can see our thoughts. But I just wanted to point that out because there's so many people that will go through thick and thin and say, you know what, I did this because I'm serving the Lord. Really? We need to think about that because, you know, there's a lot of things that God can see right through. And that's one of them. Actually, what can't he see through, I guess, is the question. So we can't relate. And where I'm going with this is we can't relate spirituality with physical things of the world. You cannot relate those two. You can't say what you see and relate that to a spiritual life. It doesn't happen. We can't relate what I do or don't do with spirituality. You can't do it because sometimes they can be disconnected. What you do may be disconnected from what's in your head. They can be totally disconnected. Can they be in line? Yes, they can. And that's the idea of the spiritual life, right? We want to be consistent. We want to be Christians that are actually living it outside. But at the same time, if you take an indicator as somebody doing something for the spiritual life, be careful because it may not be exactly what you're thinking it is. So many people say, I'm just going to church, right? I go to church every Sunday and I volunteer for the church. I do this, this, and this, and this, but they're not there up here. They're not there up here. They're sacrificing the physical, the outside, just to glorify man and self. But where is it up here? It's not there. They're just checking off some human boxes is what they're doing. Denying yourself is talking about the lust patterns of your flesh. Guess what? That has nothing to do with the physical. That all starts in the mind. It results in sometimes physical, but it doesn't start there. It starts up here. Denying yourself is a lot harder or more of a challenge than just doing something because you feel like doing it. Because you want to put the spotlight on yourself. There's a lot of people that do that, right? And we fall into that category sometimes too. Because we're not perfect. We have sin natures. So spirituality is this. It's thinking God's thoughts through His power and the Holy Spirit. That's not just doing something. So if divine thinking is not in place, there is no point to all the external things being done. God requires us to change internally. Internally first. And that's a good place to take a break because next we're going to talk about a little bit about what that is. A little word that the scripture uses called transformation. There has to be a transformation. So with that being said, let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your word, for your grace, and the fact that you love us enough to be so clear and upfront and outright and personal, and the fact that you love us so much that you want to see us in a better place in our life. You want to see us grow and glorify you, and you know that we're at a disadvantage from birth. And we're just so grateful that you give us the information to see what we are to see and be discerning so we can understand our own self, our own thoughts, feelings, and be able to combat them in a way that glorifies you. We thank you so much, and we thank you for Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins and offered that salvation to us by grace through faith. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.